Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. So on Thursday, a woman very much on the edges of the church came into the office here, and she said to me, "You know, Rob, Easter, it should really be the real Christmas." And I looked a little confused. And as we talked a little bit and conversed, I realized that what she was saying was that in her mind, Easter deserves all the hype that we and the culture around us give to Christmas. I mean, gifts and cards and worship services and pageants and music everywhere. Because when it comes down to it, I would argue that Christmas means nothing without the resurrection story that we just heard. Now, don't get me wrong. Christmas is great. I am a fan. But there would be no Christmas without the resurrection. As one person said, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, what difference does it make if he was born in a manger or a 7-Eleven? And yet, so it is that no one plans to have a holly jolly Easter. It's unlikely that we'll hear "Jesus Christ is Risen Today" sung by Celine Dion or Michael Bublé over a shopping mall intercom this week. That might be a good thing. And so it is that the wider culture around us has an easier time getting their heads around the idea of God becoming us. But they, and I would argue maybe even we, don't quite know what the heck to do with that same person rising from the dead. It's far easier to do bunnies and chocolates than it is the resurrection. Yes, the resurrection messes with our sense of what can and should be. We all know if there's anything that you can't avoid, what is it? Death and taxes. You can't avoid death. Bishop Wright says we could cope, the world could cope, with a Jesus who ultimately remains a wonderful idea inside the disciples' minds and hearts. But the world cannot cope with a Jesus who bursts out of the tomb, who inaugurates God's new creation right in the middle of the old one. But that is what we audaciously and boldly proclaim. That's why Easter marks us Christians as, once again, a weird people. C.S. Lewis called the resurrection the strangest story of all. Easter marks us as a people of the urgent revolution of God's unceasing mercy and grace and love. It marks the inauguration of a new creation where the wrongs will be made right and puts us, Christ's followers, right into the soul of that birthing new creation. Yes, Easter changes everything. It changed the orientation of those early ragamuffin disciples from being a community who were caught in despair and disorder and fear into a community that literally practiced resurrection. And so it was that they believed it, and more importantly, they lived it into caring for each other with reckless abandon. They cared for all those in need with an unending love. And it calls us 2,000 years later to do the same, should we let it. The scandal of it all, the particularity of the Christian message is that God took on human flesh and God died. God in Christ was stone cold dead, and something beyond our understanding happened in that tomb early Sunday morning. Jesus was resurrected, not resuscitated, not reemerged as a spirit being, but resurrected. And so, damned be death. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your bite? The culture of death and violence and fear is done with. And so we proclaim that life and love have won. Hallelujah. Let's try that again. So we proclaim that life and love have won.
Hallelujah.
I could totally get into doing this all the time. In that very physical resurrection, we have God affirming the goodness and beauty of our physical bodies and the physical world. And that's why, I think, that we as the church use things physical, like bread and wine, and if you were there a few hours back, quite a few hours back, water and oil, like that which we used in baptizing Jesse. God uses the tangible things of earth. The resurrection shows us that physicality is a good thing. It shows us that best of all, we have nothing to fear. The resurrection changes everything. But what's that supposed to mean? I think it's bigger than what stone needs to be rolled away in your life. Though I think it is that as well. I think it's bigger than being a great metaphor for us rising out of our little deaths, the struggles and pains and sorrows of our lives, though it is that too. It's bigger than being a manifesto for us activist types who want to free the world from slavery and oppression and all the awful isms that keep people down and empire, though it is that as well. It's more than in this resurrection, we too can look forward to our own resurrections. Though I think it is that as well. It's bigger than any of the boxes that we want to put it in. Which I think is why we try and talk and think and struggle our way around it. And I think that's why we don't tend to put it on the front of any Easter cards. For it's everything that Jesus lived and proclaimed. It's the very reign of God inaugurated in a moment where that seemingly inevitable death is reversed and defeated. The great writer Henry Nouwen reminds us this. Jesus didn't rise from the grave to baffle his opponents. He didn't rise from the grave to make a victory statement or to prove to those who crucified him that he was right after all. Jesus rose as a sign to those who had loved him and followed him that God's divine love is stronger than death. To the women and men who had committed themselves to him, he revealed that his mission had now been fulfilled. To those who shared in his ministry, he gave the sacred task to call all people into the new life with him. Because of Easter, we here this afternoon have an urgent and important job to do and a new identity to do it with. Again, Tom Wright says that. So I'd suggest that's why we are church. There is really no reason to come to church other than this. Without the cross leading to the resurrection, without Easter, the church is little more than a lovely social club. And frankly, it's a social club that has a lot more baggage attached to it than a lot of social clubs out there. But it is something that we are drawn to live deeply together into that very kingdom. So I went on Friday and saw this Paul the Apostle of Christ movie. And there's a scene in it where Paul is talking to a Roman prison guard. And this is kind of non-canonical. You can call it a targum or whatever. But this is the conversation that ensues, and it's quite beautiful, so I thought I'd share it with you. Paul turns to the prison guard and says, "Imagine yourself looking out at the vast sea. You reach down and you put a hand into the water and you scoop it up. But almost immediately the water begins to leak out through your fingers, and within a few moments your hand is empty. The water is like life. From birth to death, it is constantly slipping through our hands. Before we know it, our lives will be gone, along with everything that we hold dear in this world. Yet the kingdom that we seek, the reign that we seek and that we live for, it's like that whole vast sea. People strive for the cup of water that slips through their fingers. But us Christ followers, we live for the endless expanse of sea. People who believe in the resurrection, in God making a whole new world in which everything will be set right at last, are unstoppably motivated then to work for that new world in the present. There's something about the resurrection that changes everything. And so it is, the church proclaims, that Easter did not just happen some 2,000 years ago. Easter happens each time we gather around this table. This, in case you're wondering, is not new or novel theology. It is what the ancient church taught. It's why each Sunday is remembered as a feast of Jesus' resurrection. And that risen Jesus calls us to baptism and to this table just as sure as he called Mary Magdalene by name. And she recognized him as the risen Lord. In these things, he calls us to our own resurrections. And so, we listen. We listen for his voice calling our name, the voice of the risen Lord calling to us, calling us to recognize him. As we hear that voice, may we be motivated to live more fully together into the new creation, into the reign brought forth in the resurrection. May we join with Alleluia joy that Jesse was reborn into this new creation and hope for resurrection this morning. And at the end of the day, all there really is to say is, Merry Easter. Merry Easter, for Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I got to do that one more time. For Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah.